You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.
Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM proudly presents The Rowan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. And now, the Rowan Radio News Team.
Good morning and welcome to The Rowan Report here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM. I'm Katie Francis with the Rowan Radio News Team. Some of this week's headlines include U.S. forces in Iraq will be reduced by almost half, and the president is under fire after Bob Woodward revelations. But first, here's your national news recap for the week of September 6th. Families across the western U.S. are in mourning as deadly wildfires rage on. At least 7 people are confirmed to have died as a result of the fires in California, Oregon, and Washington. At least 12 people are missing in Northern California, where thousands have been trying to escape the Bear Fire. The National Fire Information Center says over 90 major fires burning in 13 western states have destroyed more than 5,300 square miles. The San Francisco Bay Area's air quality was worse towards the end of this week, but less orange than previous days. The government's Air Now Index rates it unhealthy for almost everyone in parts of North and East Bay, and the sky is solid gray. As of Thursday afternoon, the smoke was lower to the ground and mixed with fog. Forecasters say the wind has shifted and is blowing smoke from the Dolan Fire in Monterey County's Los Padres National Forest. As her home state in California burns, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is promising a focus on climate change if Democrats take power next year. She told reporters it will be something her party addresses early on should they take control of government. Wildfires have burned more than 2 million acres in California this year alone. Despite the promise to address climate change, Pelosi said fighting the coronavirus takes priority. However, she hopes the virus is more under control by then. The Oregon Fire Department, a forestry fire chief, says the damage caused by the fires is unprecedented. On MSNBC, Fire Chief Doug Graff says the state has never experienced this amount of loss from wildfires before.
This has never happened in Oregon. We have not experienced the tremendous loss and destructive fire nature that we're seeing over the last 72 hours in our history.
Graff explains that he set a strategic direction on a daily basis to help extinguish the fire. Right now, he says the main focus is life, safety, and structural protection where they can save the buildings. He also said that Thursday was the last day for the unprecedented weather events that contributed to the fire across the state.
A cold front with dramatic and dynamic powerful winds on top of a sustained east wind event, which is dry and hot, 20 to 30 mile an hour sustained winds with 60 mile an hour gusts for 3 days straight, on top of fuel conditions that are the driest that we've ever seen in Oregon.
There is no change in the number of weekly jobless claims. The Labor Department says 884,000 Americans filed initial claims last week, which is the same as the revised total from the previous week. A professor no longer teaches at George Washington University after lying about being black. The university announced that Dr. Jessica Krug resigned after she published an essay on September 3rd in which she admitted to pretending to be African American. In reality, the teacher said she is white and Jewish. Just one day after the essay was published, George Washington University announced Krug would no longer be teaching for the semester as they investigated the situation. Senate Democrats are blocking a Republican stimulus deal. No Democrats voted for advancing the measure that aimed to expand liability protections and unemployment benefits. Senate Majority Mitch McConnell tweeted his displeasure above the vote. He said the Democrats have only one goal, and that is, quote, no help for American families before the election, end quote. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy is being taken to court. Montana Governor Steve Bullock is suing as he says mail delivery has undergone, quote, unlawful changes, end quote. He wants a court to declare the changes unlawful and require steps to reverse them. DeJoy took over the U.S. Postal Service in May. He has come under intense criticism for the changes that include eliminating overtime pay for some workers. A senior at a high school in Long Island in New York is under arrest after he was suspended for attending in-person class and then attempted to return Thursday morning. 17-year-old Maverick Stowe was first suspended Tuesday after looking to attend his high school in Suffolk County. Apparently, it wasn't his turn to attend in-person class that day, but he feels strongly that virtual learning is ineffective and that he should physically be in school. After sitting in class Thursday, his teacher called the principal. Eventually, Stowe was taken to the 7th Precinct. Reports indicate that Stowe's parents are aware of what he's doing and support his actions. It's not clear how they've responded to his arrest or what the next steps may be for his case. There's still hope that the coronavirus vaccine being produced by AstraZeneca could still come out this year. The company's CEO made that claim, saying they're still on track for, quote, having a set of data, end quote, for regulatory approval before 2020 is finished. This is despite having to pause clinical trials recently after a volunteer became sick. AstraZeneca and the University of Oxford are jointly developing the coronavirus vaccine and are testing it on 50,000 people worldwide. I'm Katie Francis, and that was your national news.
I'm Jack Brennan with this week's political news. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, who has been in hot water recently over what has been called a dismantling of the U.S. Postal Service ahead of the 2020 election, is now being investigated by the House. Under scrutiny for possible campaign finance violations, DeJoy's investigation at the hands of the House Oversight Committee comes after allegations arose that DeJoy had requested employees of his to donate to certain political candidates, after which he would reimburse them through bonuses. Oversight Committee Chairwoman Carolyn Maloney explained that if the accusations were true, DeJoy could face charges for both his actions and his subsequent lying to Congress. President Trump is currently on the back foot after a number of interviews from Bob Woodward's new book have been released to the public this week. In the interviews, the president speaks at length about various goings-on in his administration, including his attempts at downplaying the virus and his protection of the Saudi Arabian prince who had an American journalist tortured and executed. These admissions have drawn sharp criticism from Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, who believes Trump's actions in early March to be a life-and-death betrayal of the American people. The president claims his goal was to avoid causing a panic, but that does not align with his current campaign strategy of throwing into question the safety of America and her people under a possible Biden administration. Also in presidential news, Tuesday saw the Department of Justice move to assume control of defending Donald Trump in a defamation lawsuit. The suit comes from a woman who claims the president raped her in the 1990s, E. Jean Carroll. Carroll claims the president raped her in a department store dressing room in the mid-90s, and is one of more than two dozen women to accuse the president of sexual misconduct since the 1970s. Last year, while fielding questions from reporters, President Trump denied knowing Carroll and accused her of lying. This led Carroll to file the suit in New York State Court. Attorney General William Barr's Justice Department claims that since Trump made his statements while performing official duties as president, government attorneys should take the reins from his private lawyers. As U.S. taxpayers will now be footing the bill for the president's defense, Carroll's lawyer, Robbie Kaplan, says the move offends him as a lawyer and offends him even more as a citizen. A new list of possible Supreme Court nominees has been released by the president, in a maneuver similar to one he made in 2016 to energize conservative voters. Possible appointments included Senators Ted Cruz and Tom Cotton, as well as a number of conservative justices from lower courts across the country. These justices, all Trump appointees, have been noted for their open hostility to environmental regulations, LGBTQ rights, and abortion. Arguably the most divisive pick is Daniel Cameron, Kentucky's Attorney General, who has received widespread backlash over his handling of the Breonna Taylor case. Shortly after the list was released, Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas took to Twitter to declare, "It's time for Roe v. Wade to go." That about wraps up this week's political news. For the Rowan Report, I'm Jack Brennan.
I'm Riley Meyer with your local news. Newark Airport is rolling out new COVID testing for travelers. This way, passengers can get testing right after they touch down. The testing site, which is also available for airport workers, is on the upper level of Terminal B with 6 rooms. There's also a testing site at JFK Airport, and officials say by the end of the month, test results will only take 15 minutes. As the bulk of New Jersey school districts gets classes started for the new academic year, Governor Phil Murphy says the state is ready for the challenges posed by COVID-19.
We have all of the public health protocols and procedures in place to safeguard our children, our educators and staff, and their families.
He notes that 723 opening plans have been approved and are considered complete, while 86 have been returned for fixes. Murphy says most of the fixes or changes involve technical issues and things like staffing. In all, 388 school districts are following a hybrid approach with both in-person and online learning. 69 districts are using only in-person instruction, 238 have begun the year online only, and 28 are using a combination at different facilities. Governor Murphy says New Jerseyans won't know for 10 days if the reopening of indoor dining over Labor Day weekend caused COVID-19 flare-ups. While making a couple of TV and radio appearances Tuesday morning, the governor said the chances are relatively low there will be significant coronavirus spikes. He said, so far, so good, but officials will look back 10 days from now and see. Some New Jersey and Long Island shore communities are extending the beach season. People like Pearl are staying at their vacation homes past Labor Day, and they may be able to sneak in extra beach time.
There's definitely the challenges of both working full-time and doing virtual learning. However, some of the silver linings are getting to be down here.
An extended beach season is welcome news to many shore businesses that have taken a hit financially because of coronavirus. Many municipalities, along with Jersey Shore like Seaside Heights and Seaside Park, will keep on summer staff, including lifeguards, through September. Several Long Island communities are doing the same, like Smith Point and Cupsoak Beaches in Suffolk County and Nickerson Beach in Nassau County. Lifeguards will be out for a few more weeks at New York State Parks as well as Long Island, including Jones Beach and Robert Moses Parks. Governor Phil Murphy recounted the earthquake that shook people awake early Wednesday morning in New Jersey. He notes the epicenter of the 3.1 magnitude shake was in his home county of Monmouth.
The worst one in 9 years, and turns out the epicenter was in our county. Keep everybody in those communities in your prayers.
In fact, Murphy says he spoke at length with Freehold Township Mayor Lester Preston to stay on top of what was happening. People in Old Bridge, Homedale, Manalapan, and South River took to social media to describe what they felt, while some on Staten Island said they were awakened by the quake. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is pushing baby bonds as a way to lift people out of generational poverty. James Flippin explains.
One of the first people within the state to champion this idea was U.S. Senator Cory Booker. In essence, these are seeded savings accounts that would be set up for newborns, with families making less than $131,000 a year eligible. Governor Murphy says this is the ideal time to make it happen.
It is bold, it is broad, and it gives us hope that the generation being born in the midst of a pandemic may be able to do better than the one that lived through it.
And he argues such a policy could be life-changing for many financially.
College education, a down payment on the house, or the first $1,000, say, to open a small business.
James Flippin, NBC News Radio, New Jersey.
Six Flags Great Adventure in Jackson is announcing details of Hollowfest, which is replacing Fright Fest this year due to the pandemic. The event kicks off September 18th and will be divided into two segments. Thrills by Day will feature more family-friendly attractions, while Chills by Night will feature four scare zones and haunted mazes. All actors, employees, and guests are required to wear masks, along with staying 6 feet away from one another. A New Jersey girl is still missing after alleged abduction in Cumberland County nearly a year ago, as investigators ask anyone with information to come forward. Law enforcement continues to investigate the disappearance of Dulce Maria Alvarez from a nearly 1,000-acre park where she was playing, with authorities reporting additional leads in the case that received nationwide attention. An Amber Alert was issued and countless people interviewed, with the search focusing on the red van. FBI agent David Garibrandt says they still believe witnesses saw the abductor, but have not yet come forward, either out of fear or because they don't think their information is relevant to the case. I'm Riley Meyer, and that was your local news.
I'm Jack Brennan with your international news. Europe's largest migrant refugee camp has been ravaged by several fires, leaving thousands displaced yet again. The camp, named Moria, was situated on the Greek island of Lesbos and was home to more than 12,000 asylum seekers. Though the cause of the fires has yet to be determined, Greek officials have claimed the fires are the result of refugees who did not want to quarantine after being tested positive for COVID-19. Greece's Prime Minister, Kyriakos Mitsotakis, decried the violent reactions to health protocols in a televised address. Though the conditions at the camp were less than stellar, with overcrowding and poor sanitation, several of the camp's inhabitants remained adamant that they would not set fire to their own homes or endanger the lives of their children. The month of September will see U.S. forces in Iraq reduced by nearly half, according to Commander General Frank McKenzie of the United States Central Command. McKenzie is responsible for U.S. troops in the Middle East, and explained Wednesday that the number of servicemen would go down from 5,200 to 3,000. Defense Department officials claim that the move reflects confidence in Iraqi security forces, but that the U.S. will continue to work with their partners in Iraq and Syria to combat ISIS. In the Philippines, a U.S. serviceman convicted of murdering a transgender woman in 2014 has been fully pardoned. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte granted Corporal Joseph Pemberton an absolute pardon, just days after his office said it would intervene to block his early release. Pemberton was sentenced to 6 to 12 years in 2015 for homicide after he killed Jennifer Laud in a hotel room the two were staying at. After meeting at a nightclub, the two entered the hotel together, but Pemberton was seen leaving alone. Laud was later found by housekeeping with a broken neck. The move has angered Filipino LGBT activists who claim the president's pardon will encourage further violence against the transgender community. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny is now out of his medically induced coma, weeks after being poisoned during travel. In a statement released Monday, Navalny's Berlin hospital said his condition had improved and that he was slowly being weaned off mechanical ventilation, though the long-term effects of his poisoning remain to be seen. The Russian government has wholeheartedly denied poisoning Navalny, despite having done so to critics of the state previously. Last week, a German military lab was able to confirm that Navalny was poisoned with a Novichok variant, a nerve agent commonly used in the former Soviet Union. I'm Jack Brennan, and that was your international news.
I'm Peter Costantino with your Rowan Report Health Update. As many students return to educational institutions in a post-coronavirus world, results have been mixed throughout the state. Some schools like Little Silver and East Brunswick Votech have already moved to an every-other-day structure or have returned to remote learning. Some schools have committed to full remote learning for students with a potential return to school physically in the latter half of the school semester. Rowan University is committed to slowing the spread of coronavirus for those on campus and maintain the public health. To ensure transparency, Rowan has been reporting all of their coronavirus cases fully available to the public online. Despite this, however, since August 25th, Rowan University has reported more than 100 cases of coronavirus, with about half that number reported by on-campus individuals. Currently, Rowan University has more students on campus than any other college in the state, choosing to allow students to move back in at 63% capacity and recognize social distancing policy. A spokesman for Rowan claimed the college is able to take care of students who fall ill and is prepared for any contingency. I'm Peter Costantino.
That does it for the first half of the Rowan Report, wrapping up the entire week's national, political, international, and local news. We're going to take a quick break. Next up, we have your weekly sports, business, and entertainment news. Stay tuned right here on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS-FM. Welcome back to the Rowan Report. I'm Katie Francis, along with the Rowan Radio News Team.
I'm Peter Costantino with your Rowan Report business and technology news. Our top story from Washington today, President Trump insists America won't come to a halt again to fight the coronavirus.
There could be a little section, a small section. We have a breakout, but we're not talking about shutdowns like they were talking about, depending on experts.
President Trump also told reporters he came into office with a stockpile that wasn't adequately supplied.
They ordered the CDC to stop counting tests and stop counting cases, and then left us a depleted stockpile.
Meanwhile, Senate Democrats are blocking a Republican stimulus bill on Capitol Hill. NBC News' Casey Hunt says there's a reason why the bill is stalled.
There doesn't seem to be a ton of urgency coming out of the White House, and I think that's a big piece of why things are stalled up here on Capitol Hill.
No Democrats voted for advancing the measure that aimed to expand liability protections and unemployment benefits. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell tweeted his displeasure after the vote. He said the Democrats have only one goal, and that is to, quote, no help for American families before the election.
Republicans who are positioning themselves perhaps for a post-Trump GOP, perhaps they want to run for president in 2024 or 2028.
More top stories from Washington. FBI Deputy Assistant Director John Jimenez says they suspect hundreds of filing fraudulent claims to the Paycheck Protection Program.
We've opened several hundred PPP-related investigations. We've identified nearly 500 PPP-related subjects, individuals we believe have fraudulently requested or received hundreds of millions of dollars in CARES Act stimulus funds directed to PPP loans.
Jimenez's comments come after the Department of Justice announced 57 people have been officially charged with Paycheck Protection Program fraud. The department estimates they've lost about $70 million to fraudsters in those cases. The program was established March 27th of this year with the signing of the CARES Act in an effort to help businesses floundering during the coronavirus pandemic. In other news, the Android 11 update is here. Google announced a select number of users will get the software update on their phones over the next few days, while others will see the update roll out in the coming months. Android owners can expect to see improved messaging features, media controls, and a built-in screen recording tool, as well as new privacy measures to give users better control of their devices. Amazon is looking to fill 33,000 new positions. CNN reports that the company will be holding a virtual career day on September 16th with 1,000 recruiters on hand. The jobs available are corporate and tech positions and will earn $150,000 per year. A recent survey done by Amazon said due to the coronavirus pandemic, 53% of workers in the U.S. had to search for a new job. I'm Peter Costantino.
I'm Gary Erdely, and this is your Rowan Report Sports Update. The NFL returns this weekend as the season was kicked off on Thursday night when the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs play the Houston Texans. This weekend's slate of games is highlighted as the new-look Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their starting quarterback Tom Brady faces off against Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. This is the first time in Tom Brady's career that he will not start Week 1 in a Patriots uniform, as he starts alongside his star-studded lineup featuring Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Leonard Fournette, and the returning Rob Gronkowski. Houston Rockets reserve Daniel House Jr. is under investigation by the NBA for allegedly allowing a female COVID-19 testing official into his hotel room. His status for the remainder of the Western Conference semifinals against the Los Angeles Lakers is now in question. The Rockets are the lone remaining team staying at Walt Disney World's Grand Floridian Resort, which is also where the team undergoes its daily testing. Doris Burke will make history inside the NBA bubble at Walt Disney World later this month, as Burke, the longtime ESPN analyst, will call the conference and NBA finals on ESPN Radio, which will make her the first woman to ever do so on either a network television or a radio broadcast. Since Burke can't fulfill her usual role on the sidelines, ESPN's Rachel Nichols is slated to take her place for the NBA finals. The Atlantic Coastal Conference men's basketball coaches are proposing an expanded 2021 NCAA tournament that would include every single Division I team. Several ACC coaches would prefer to avoid non-conference games in the 2020-2021 season due to complications from the coronavirus pandemic. Sources tell ESPN that Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski is spearheading the push for an all-inclusive NCAA tournament. However, the NCAA does not have any plans of expanding the NCAA tournament. I'm Garrett Lee, and that is your Rowan Report Sports Update.
And now it's time for your weekly entertainment recap with me, Peter Costantino. It looks like we're no longer going to be keeping up with the Kardashians come the show's final 20th season next year. The long-running docuseries about the beloved Kardashian family is coming to an end as Kris Jenner announced that her and her daughters will no longer be filming their encounters in Calabasas to, quote, take a minute and breathe. The show has been on for 14 years and has had 12 spin-off series. In other television finale news, The Walking Dead will be ending its run for the upcoming 11th season. The final season will be expanded with 24 episodes. However, The Walking Dead is still staying very much alive, with multiple movies and spin-off TV series in the works. The Oscars have now introduced a diversity requirement to be qualified for Best Picture starting in 2024. Beginning with the 96th Oscars, films hoping to qualify for Best Picture category will have to meet the inclusion standards both on camera and behind the scenes. Some of these rules involve the inclusion of underrepresented races in lead roles and hiring more women and people of color in filming roles. Game of Thrones actress Diana Rigg dies at 82 on Thursday following a battle with cancer. Rigg was best known for her role in the Avengers TV series and Olenna Tyrell in Game of Thrones, as well as playing the only woman to ever marry James Bond in 1969. Her daughter, actress Rachel Sterling, said Rigg was diagnosed with cancer back in March. Celebrity trainer Jillian Michaels says she contracted coronavirus from a close friend. The 49-year-old fitness coach opened up about the experience with the virus, saying you should never let your guard down, and warned about the dangers of public gyms. The famous Biggest Loser trainer unknowingly contracted the virus after only an hour with her friend that does her makeup. Ellen DeGeneres says she will be talking about the recent controversy over her show during the season 18 premiere on September 21st. The new season will feature Ellen returning to the studio for the first time since shutdown in March, and will mark the first time that the host has spoken publicly about the allegations. Stranger Things star David Harbour married singer Lily Allen in the most Vegas way possible on Wednesday. The couple, who had been dating for over a year, got married in a chapel featuring an Elvis impersonator, also sharing photos of Allen enjoying an In-N-Out burger in her her wedding dress after the wedding. Saturday Night Live will be returning to the 30 Rock studio for the first time since March for the show's 46th season. The sketch show has only aired a few times over quarantine virtually, but will reportedly be live from New York once again starting on October 3rd. Bruce Springsteen announced a new album, Letters to You, slated to be released on October 23rd. The rock icon's 20th studio album will feature 12 songs and was recorded at his home studio in New Jersey. New to Netflix this week includes a new Netflix original TV show, The Duchess and The Babysitter, Killer Queen. New music includes new singles from Marilyn Manson, Florida Georgia Line, Demi Lovato, and David Guetta. I'm Peter Costantino, and this has been your weekly entertainment recap here on Rowan Radio.
And that wraps it up for this week's edition of The Rowan Report here on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS-FM. For the Rowan Radio News Team, I'm Katie Francis. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Rowan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. Be sure to join us every Saturday morning at 9:30 for another edition of The Rowan Report, exclusively here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.